Good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to see all of you here. If you take God's Word and open it up this morning, I'm going to be looking. In fact, the way that I've done this, you may need to just look at your life point outline. If you haven't already picked that up, I want you to be sure and get one of those. Please take time, go to the back and get you a copy if you haven't done that so you can remember this. I want you to be taking notes today. I think this could be a real pivotal message in the life of a lot of couples because of the things that I want to share with you. And I know just some things in this have made a real difference in our marriage at home between Catherine and I, and just learning some of these things. And I just want to be an encouragement to you and pray that it will be that for you. We're talking about when the vow breaks. And, of course, you've been in this series for the last several weeks. I'm appreciative and grateful for the response that has come, and many talking about inviting people to come. And if you're a guest here, we just want to say welcome, and we're excited that you're here, and I hope our Harmony Hill people have made you feel welcome and let you even sit in their place if you need a place to sit. Anyway, it's good to have all of you here this morning. We're talking about when the vow breaks, and what we're doing is we're taking some time to examine some big marriage killers, those things that just absolutely can be an anathema to a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. And this morning, if you notice, the title of the message is Necessary Needs. And I just wanted to start off with that just kind of in a positive thing. But the whole idea in the message this morning is that one of the huge marriage killers is unmet needs in the life of a husband or a wife. Why? Because there are necessary needs that I have as a man and in a husband position. One of the things that moves me to look for a wife, because there are things I need from a woman, and I need that in my life. God didn't give me the gift of celibacy. I wasn't going to be satisfied living my life alone. I needed a woman in my life, and God gave me Catherine. And for the majority of us here this morning, we have that need. We want somebody in our life, and so we find that certain person that really speaks to us and talks to us, and we just have that real life connection between us and them. The problem is that each of us have needs, and they are legitimate. And the reality is that a lot of times I don't know how to meet her need, and she doesn't know how to meet mine. And so two people that wind up being absolutely crazy about each other can find themselves at war in a marriage relationship. And there have been a number of great marriages that have hit the rocks, hit the skids. And it's over, many times, unmet needs. And at the surface, you think, well, that's kind of shallow, you know, to be that way. But the reality is that it does destroy a lot of marriages. And so I want to talk about necessary needs in our life. And there are two passages that I want us to look at. And I went ahead and put them in your life point outline, because they're from the Living Bible and the Phillips Translation, and you probably don't have that with you this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 in the Living Bible says, talking to us guys, "Now you husbands, you must be careful of your wives." How? "Being thoughtful of their needs." Her needs. You're thoughtful of them. And then in Ephesians 5:22, in the Phillips translation, it says, "Now you ladies, you wives, must learn to adapt yourselves to your husbands." Why? Because it's just going to be weird. You married somebody who's different. Lord have mercy. He's not like you. And the things he wants just They're different. And he sees things differently. So how do we handle necessary needs? Well, I want you to notice number one in your outline, just a statement of reality, biblical reality. Our spouse should meet our needs. Catherine should meet my needs. I should meet her needs. That's the first thing. That's where I want to start. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, husbands, you must give honor to your wives. How do I do that? How do you give honor to your girl, men? How do you do that? You treat your wife with what? Understanding. As you live together. And that simply means if I'm treating my wife with understanding as I live together with her, it means I live with her according to my knowledge of what she needs as a woman. Now, in order to do that, that means that as a husband, one of my responsibilities is I'm not supposed to be a doofus with regards to what she needs. In other words, I make my wife a study in my life. I seek to study her, to know what is it that she needs that will make marriage a joy to her. That, you know, that she's glad she picked me. That she's not regretful of that. You see, that's the whole thing. I don't want her, and you don't want your wife, to be regretting that they made that decision. And that's just something, that's how we live from day to day with each other. So here's a truth, let me just state it. It is the job of a spouse, man or woman, to study their partner for necessary needs. In other words, there are those needs that they have, and they're legitimate, like food, water, clothing, shelter, those are legitimate. Would you agree with that? Well, there are legitimate needs that your wife has, legitimate needs that your husband has. Now, let me give you a marriage myth in your outline. Here's the myth. My spouse will meet all my needs. That is a lie. There's no truth to that. No. The reality is there is not a person who exists that can meet all of my needs, Catherine included. There's not a man, there's not a woman, depending on what your sex is. If you're a man, there's not a woman on this planet that can meet all of your needs. There's not a man on this planet, ladies, that can meet all your needs. And invariably, we get to feeling that because if our spouse doesn't meet our needs, then we begin to feel like, well, I thought they were going to do that. That's why, you know, I married them. They're going to meet all of my needs. And then you begin to feel jilted. And then, at God forbid, you start looking around saying, well, maybe there would have been a better choice for me than the one that I've got. And that's just absolutely crazy. Because reality is there's nobody on this planet that's able to meet all of our needs. And the Bible says, here's the truth in your outline, only God can do that. God is the only one that can meet all of my needs. Philippians 4:19 in the Living Bible, it is God who will supply what? This is where you respond, all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But the reality is, even as my father seeks to meet my needs, you know what he does? Now, he meets with me, he communes with me, he speaks with me, he gives me power through his Holy Spirit. But invariably, my father leads me to other people in the church. Why? Because I'm going to look for my needs to be met with somebody who's also walking with Jesus, right? That's what we want. We want somebody who walks with the Lord, who listens to him. And invariably, I can't get all my needs met through Catherine. She can't do it. And I can't do the same thing with her. That's why it's fine for her to have her girlfriends. Go have your girlfriends. No boyfriends, but you can have girlfriends. Right? You know? No boyfriends. We're in Texas, right? That's right. No, we don't put up with that. So it's all right for her to have girlfriends. I'm fine for her to go off and, you know, go off and spend a couple of days with the girls and go out of town and do that. And, you know, and I give her money and everything. Why? Because they are meeting needs I can't meet. And they're feeding her soul. And when she comes back, she's a happy camper. And when she's a happy camper, life's good. And life's a lot better at our place. And so go with my blessing. And, you know, I'll go eat ribs and whatever I need to do while she's gone, you know. Everything I shouldn't while she's at home. So even as I look at the Father to meet my needs, He's going to lead me to other people. Why? Because there's no one person that can meet all of my needs. And so what are the needs then? Number two, her needs, His needs. And I just want to be upfront with you. I am deeply indebted for what I'm going to share with you to the research and the insights of two men, Christian clinical psychologist Dr. Willard Harley and Dr. Emerson Egrich, who is a specialist in child and family ecology. And these guys have done a lot of extensive study and work and have a heart for the Lord. And so what I'm going to share with you are things I have learned from them. And so here's the marriage study conclusion that both of these guys came through in separate studies. They both came to the same conclusion. Here it is. And we've said it once before. Men need what? Respect. Women need love. All right? Both of them came to that. And session after session, they would hear, when they had the men and women in, they were talking to them. These guys would record women, and they would just be crying, "He just doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. I don't feel loved by him." And the men would be growling, "She doesn't respect me. You know, she disses me. She talks me down." And, you know, just feeling that. And it should be no surprise that all we're finding out is what God already knew. Would you agree with that? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, in the Message says, "Wives, understand and support your husbands." Now listen, each wife is to respect her husband. God said that over 2,000 years ago. The wife respects her husband, Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, go all out in your respect for your wives." No, for your love for your wives. All right? So women respect their husbands. Men love their wives. It is so undeniable. They did a national study. They interviewed, there was at least 400 men, and they asked them a simple hypothetical question, and they said this: "All right, you've got two choices, and we want to know which one, as a man, you would choose. Would you be willing to go through life all alone and unloved, or would you rather go through life all your life feeling inadequate and disrespected by everyone?" 3 out of 4 men said, "I'll go through life alone and unloved any day. I just don't want to go through life disrespected and feeling inadequate." 3 out of 4 men chose that every time. Guess what the women did? Just the opposite. "Oh, I don't mind feeling inadequate and disrespected. I just don't want to be alone, and I don't want to be not loved. I don't want that." Every woman, just like, bing, that one. So it's all the same. And so here's a marriage insight. While living together in marriage is God's plan, how to do it well is not intuitive. It's just, you know, it's not like it's just right there with us. And so how to live together with the opposite sex is learned. I think one of the greatest examples, and those of you who attended the marriage seminar with Catherine and I a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember this. Dr. Egrich told about a counselor who met with a couple that had been married for 20 years. You think, okay, by this time they've got it down. They know what they're doing. 20-year marriage. And so he sat down and he said, "How can I help you?" And the lady starts off, and, you know, tears just start welling up her eyes. And she went on and on and on. And she told about 20 years of neglect, lack of intimacy, loneliness, she feeling unloved. And all the time, you know, he was listening to her. He kind of looked over at the husband, and the guy's just sitting there. And just kind of looking at the ceiling, nothing. And so when she finally finished, the counselor gets up and he walks around his desk and he asks the woman to stand up. And he embraces her, he pulls him to himself, and he kisses her full on the mouth. This is a counselor. The husband just sits there watching the whole thing. Well, finally, the counselor lets her go and she sets back down. Well, the woman's in a daze. You know, she's kind of blinking like a calf, you know, and they're looking at something. And the therapist turns to the husband, and once he sits down, he says, "Now, sir, that is what your wife needs at least 3 times a week. Can you do that?" The husband just sits there and looks at him. Finally, he speaks up and he says, "Well, I can drop her off on Monday and Wednesdays, but I fish on Friday." Sometimes we just don't get it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it ought to be clear, but it's just not. So it brings you to number three. Number three, the how-to of love and respect. And this, again, is from the counselors. These are the things that they found. All right. I want to do something. All right. I know that a lot of times when I am receiving for the Lord and somebody's ministering to me, a lot of times it depends upon where I am. It depends upon what's going on in my life. And sometimes maybe I'm so hurt or I'm so wounded or, you know, I'm not as close to the Lord as I need to be. And I'm, you know, it's difficult for me to receive. So here's what I want to do. Before I share this with you, I just want to pray over everybody here. I'm going to do this in all three services. And I just want to pray. So would you just bow your heads for just a minute? And I want to ask the Lord just to give us a heart to receive what I'm about to share with you, and that you we'll just say, "Father, help me to listen." And so, God, we just want to thank you for what we have here this morning. Thank you, Father, for this precious insight from your word about men, that we are to love our wives, and that the women, your daughters, are to respect their husbands, these men you've given to them. And, Father, sometimes we just get lost in the weeds. And it's just hard. And we think more about how we hurt than we do about what our spouse needs. And so, Father, we just really need your grace. And when you've sung this morning that you are on your throne, that you are victorious, and all power and honor and glory belong to you, and Father, we need some of that to fall on us. We need what you have to fall on us, to fall on our marriages. Because we want to be a church on the hill where divorce just doesn't happen. We want to be a church in Lufkin where people celebrate year in and year out. We are always celebrating 50th wedding anniversaries. We want to be that kind of church because that's what you've called us to be and you've called men and women to be. We want to rejoice in our marriages. And we want all of our brothers and sisters who yearn to be married, we want them to find that man, that woman that they can live with for the rest of their life and that they will live with them with knowledge. And so, Father, even now we pray, as we pray for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters who yearn for a loved one to live with and to be with, that you will bless them with that. And we may celebrate marriages as well. So thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, let me just start off with this, right? How do we love our wives? All right, number one, women need closeness. My wife, your wives need closeness. That means they love that feeling close, holding their hand. You know, every now and then I realize when Catherine and I are walking, it's just good for me to reach out and just kind of grab her hand and, you know, walk together like that. Hugs. Hugs are great. Women love hugs. Caveat. Non-sexual affection. Some of you guys are saying, "You can do that?" Yes, you can. Non-sexual affection. She needs to know that you love her. You know, that soul that inhabits that body that you love and that you sometimes can over-focus on. She needs to know that you love her for her and that you want to be alone with her at times, just to be with her. That's closeness. And then number two is openness. And openness means that we share feelings and events of our day. I get tickled at times with Catherine. You know, I assure you, I get up and leave the house around 5 in the morning to, you know, to go to the gym. And so I've got my workout partner, you know, and we get in there and we grunt and sweat and, you know, and do everything. And, you know, I come back and I need to eat because I'm exhausted and everything. And we're just, you know, we're in there and we're guys. Not a lot of talking goes on. We're there to, you know, I've had a workout partner once before and he liked to talk. And I said, look, we're going to talk or we're going to work out? Because I went there for a conversation. First thing when I walk in the door, Kathy said, so how was the gym? I'm like, it was open. And I'm like, you know, in the back of my mind, the Holy Spirit is saying, you messed up on that one. That she was wanting way more than that, you know. And I'm just like, I told her one day, I said, I don't know how to answer that. You know, Terry was there. He's good. He's not sick. And he worked out. It, you know, he's like, my partner's like RoboCop. You know, he just does whatever needs to be done. And I'm like, ugh. You know, but that's how I kind of share my day. But she wants to know what goes on in the day. She wants to know what's happening in your life. That's important. It's called openness. Number three is understanding. And that means that we don't, our tendency as guys is to fix. We hear, we assess, and we fix. That's what we do. Women like to talk. And it isn't necessarily that they like the sound of their voice. They just like to talk. And it's therapeutic. And they want to talk out what they're struggling with. But that doesn't mean just because they're sharing that with us that they want us to solve anything. You know, it's not like they can't do it. They just want to know that you listen and that you empathize and you sympathize with what they're going through. So note to us guys, women do love to talk. They love to express their feelings regarding life. And listening is like a warm hug. It's just like a warm hug. You're just sitting there and you're listening. But ladies, you have to understand, it takes work on our part to just sit there and listen. We are wired to fix and to solve. It's what we do. And it takes something for us just to listen to what you're saying and then for it to come out of my mouth, sweetheart, how does that make you feel? Now, I know that's what you want to hear from us, but that is difficult for that sentence to form in our brain. And so I'm just simply saying it takes work. We can be taught. We can do it. But it happens with the passage of time. And so guys, just know that. Number four, commitment. Means our wives need to know that we are loyal to them. What does that mean? It means my wife needs to know she can turn her back on me and not have to worry. She needs to know I can leave town or she can leave town and our marriage is safe and secure. She didn't have to worry about that. And how do I convince her of that? I venture into her world. You see, I let her know she's important to me by getting into her world, the things that she wants to do. It's not always about her following me, but it's also about me being in her world and being interested in what she's doing. And that when I'm around her, I'm very careful about how I talk to her about other women. Because her radar is trying to pick up signals about, do you think more about, you think she's prettier than me? You think she's more accomplished than me? You think she's better whatever than me? And so they're kind of just, you know, feeding for that. And so how I look at other women, how I talk to her about other women is important. And we better make sure our children respect mama, right? Can you say amen to that? Amen. And that they obey her. And so that's what we do. We make sure that happens. And then number five, we honor and cherish her. And that means that when it is appropriate in public, you speak highly of your wife. You brag on her to other people. You open doors for her. You cheer her on. And you don't want to look desperate as a couple, but when it's appropriate, you hold hands in public. You just do that. Why? Because that just lets her know that you honor and you cherish her. And let me ask a question. How many of you women that are here this morning would line up for some of that? Can I see your hand? You'd line up for that? Yeah, all over the place. The rest of you would, you just didn't want to raise your hand. All right. How do you love your husband? How do you love your husband? Number one, you appreciate his desire to work and achieve. His desire to work and achieve. He ought to hear from you that you value his hard work to provide for you and that you believe in him. There's nobody else in this world. No other woman matters like you do. If there's any woman he wants a kudo from, it is you. You are the only woman who can really sink his boat. It's critical. Our self-esteem is in our work. It is in what we do. And if you disrespect what we do, you put an arrow through our heart. We feel less a man. Number two, you appreciate his desire to protect and provide. Whatever material level your husband is able to provide for you, you need to be in his corner. You need to be in the stands rooting for him because he's putting himself out every day for you. He gets up, he goes to work, he pours it out for you. And so whatever he's providing, root him on. Because if he's ever going to do more, then he's got to know that you appreciate what he's doing right now. It just helps him. Number three, appreciate his desire to serve and to lead. And that simply means that you tell your husband when it's appropriate, I just want you to know my being able to lean on you is really important to me. And the fact that I can lean on you is really a comfort to me. And I appreciate the decisions that you make. Now, he's going to make some bummer decisions. You don't need to dwell on that. Everybody makes poor decisions. Would you agree with that? Well, don't make a monument to that. Just let it go on. Why? Because you're talking about his ego. And if you disagree with something that he is doing, you never, ever, ever talk about it in front of another man. Never out in public. Ever. And certainly not in front of his family or your family. Whatever is between Catherine and me is in our home, in our bedroom, and the rest of the family, it's none of their business. Does that make sense? That's why you do it. And so number four, you appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. This goes back to him just listening to you. And sometimes he's just not going to do it. Sometimes he's going to try to fix you. Well, it's just the way God wired him. And so there comes a time you just, you know, okay, he's not going to bat 1,000. So, you know, he's trying to fix. He'll listen another time. Number five, appreciate his desire for friendship. Sometimes as men, we just like for you to be there and to like what we like. He will never be a woman. He never will. And you don't want him to, ladies, right? Can I get an amen? That was really weak. That was actually sad. You don't want him to be a woman, do you? No. No, you don't. And that means there's things that he likes. And you know what feeds him? The fact that you want to be with him doing some of those things. And all through your married life, you need to be able to have fun together. And that doesn't mean always going and doing what you like. It means you're also doing some things that he likes to do. And then number six, appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. Now, the guys are going to think I've scored 1,000 on this message because I brought this up. But I let me just say this. Ladies, listen, your view of sex and his view are like from two planets. They're different. It's totally different. Your husband, needs sex in a way you never will. He has a reoccurring need for sexual release more than you need emotional, or as much as you need emotional intimacy. And that will never change until he's old and decrepit. And let me just say this. Every once in a while, for you just to look at him and say, I want you. At first I put, that's like winning the lottery, but I thought we're Christians, so I thought, you know, that's... that is like being left in a rich uncle's will. You know, it feeds him. She wants me. Arr, arr. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys would line up for all this? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Guys are a lot more truthful than the women. All right, number four, stupid pill marriage. Igrich talks about what he calls the crazy cycle. And what he simply says is, without love from him, the wife will react without respect. And without respect from her, he will react without love. And you just kind of get in this crazy cycle. She doesn't give me respect, so I'm going to give her love. He doesn't give me love, so I'm not going to give him respect. So here's the truth in your outline. Somebody in that marriage has got to be mature enough to break the crazy cycle. So it's like, which one of you is the most mature? Which one of you is closest to the Lord? A husband has got to obey God's command to love his wife, even if she doesn't show us respect. And a wife has got to obey God's command to love her husband, even if he, or respect her husband, even if he doesn't show her love. Now, here's the insight in your outline. Husbands are called to unconditional love. Now, we don't usually have a problem with that, unconditional love. But listen to this. For their wives. And wives are called to unconditional respect for their husbands. Doesn't that sound a little bit different? Unconditional respect, and yet they're both the same. That's what the Bible says. Husbands are to give unconditional love, and women are to give unconditional respect. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When a man is repeatedly disrespected by his wife, am I not saying this right? I'm just saying this is what happens. This is what you learn in counseling. When a man is repeatedly disrespected by his wife, there will be a point out there where that man will emotionally shut down on her. And that is when you have the instances most often of an adulterous affair, or you have an emotionally dead marriage. And you've got two people living in the same house, and they're not legally divorced, but they're emotionally divorced. Nothing's going on. Two people, they sleep in the same bed, and it's like being alone. Why? Their marriage is dead. And when a woman is love-starved long-term, and what that means is when a woman is, she's cut down, she's belittled, she's criticized, she's ignored. I want you to understand, I've seen this in all these years of pastoral counseling and ministry. I've seen this happen again and again. Catherine and I have talked about it. There is out there somewhere in the future, there is a line that once the woman crosses it, what we have seen, it's like there's no going back. And what I mean is, a woman doesn't know where it is, and no one else does, but it is there. A man will think, oh, she'll always be with me. She'll never leave me. She'll always come back. We'll work this through. I know I don't treat her like I should, but we'll get over this, and things will be better, and at least for a while. But here's the truth in your outline. The average wife has a limit and a heart with an off switch. And what we've noticed is that when a woman's heart is turned off to her husband, it is virtually impossible to turn it back on because she is emotionally dead to him. And this is usually... this is what I found. This is usually when the man wakes up. He'll start going to church. He'll attend counseling. He'll read books. He brings her flowers and gifts. He'll cry. He'll plead. But time and again, she is like a stone wall. She is impregnable. And ladies, I have not just given you an excuse to walk away. But rather, this is the challenge. Do the hard work, if you're there, of turning that switch back on. Because that is the high road. That's what God would have us to do. Now, here's the takeaway. What's the takeaway? It is this. Men, that we learn to ask is, what I am about to say or do, is it going to feel unloving to my wife? And ladies, that you ask yourself, is what I'm about to say to him or what I'm about to do, is that going to come across as disrespectful? Now, when we ask that question day after day, then we meet each other's needs. That's how we do it. And I want to close this morning. I got a brief clip I want you to listen to. The guys are going to play it. Dr. Robert McQuilkin was former president of Columbia International University, and at the age of 57, he found himself torn between two commitments, two divine callings. He believed he was called of God to serve as the president of Columbia University, to serve the cause of Christ by leading that school. At the same time, he was called to be a husband to his wife, Muriel. But at the age of 57, he found himself in the reality that his wife, Muriel, was day by day being stolen from him by Alzheimer's. More than one time, Dr. McQuilkin sought to resign his presidency to take care of his wife. And both times, he was repeatedly convinced by his friends, just stay on. You're at the peak of your career. This is what God has called you to. There's nothing you can do for Muriel. Institutionalize her. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't even know that you are around. But he never agreed to that. Dr. McQuilkin chose rather to have a companion stay with Muriel in their home while he went to the office. But she got worse and worse, and she became more dependent on him. She wanted him. She would follow him out of the house in the morning when he would go to work. And so it became more and more of a difficulty. She was fixated on him. And as her condition worsened, the time came when Dr. McQuilkin had to make a decision, and make a decision he did. And he chose his wife over the school. And he resigned as president of Columbia University, putting his wife first. Now, his resignation was never intended to be public. It was never intended to be any kind of a show. It was just Dr. McQuilkin expressing his heartfelt conviction and his love for his wife that had to come first. And this is what he told the student body and the board of trustees, and I want you to listen.
I haven't in my life experienced easy decision-making on major decisions, but one of the simplest and clearest decisions I've had to make is this one, because circumstances dictated it. Muriel, now, in the last couple of months, seems to be almost happy when with me, and almost never happy when not with me. In fact, she seems to feel trapped, becomes very fearful, sometimes almost terror, and when she can't get to me, there can be anger. She's in distress. But when I'm with her, she's happy and contented. And so I must be with her at all times. And you see, it's not only that I promised in sickness and in health, till death do us part, and I'm a man of my word. But as I have said, I don't know with this group, but I've said publicly, it's the only fair thing. She sacrificed for me for 4 years to make my life possible. So, if I cared for her for 40 years, I'd still be in debt. However, there's much more. It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love her very dearly, and you can tell it's not easy to talk about. She's a delight. It's a great honor to care for such a wonderful person.
Isn't that the way to end? Amen. Here's what I want to do. We're going to close. Ladies, I want to ask you, if your desire is to pray for yourself as a woman and for the other women of our fellowship, to be a wife to the men in their life, their husbands, as they need to be. And maybe there's somebody in your husband and wife's, your family's frame of reference that their marriage is struggling. and you're thinking about them as well, I want to ask you girls, I want to ask you, would you come and stand over here, and I want you to hold hands together. Y'all love holding hands. I want you to come, I want you to stand here, and I want you to hold hands as women, all right? So girls, y'all can be coming over there. Guys, I want to ask you to come over here, and I'm asking you to come as the men, because you know there for you, to pray for yourself, maybe to pray for another man, a family, where the man needs to just play the part of a man. You want to pray for your marriage. So I want to ask you to stand. And guys, y'all line up behind each other, and one of you just put a hand on the shoulder of the other one, okay? Just guys across the front standing here, and then behind you, just put a hand on each other's shoulder and just stretch out across here. Girls, you hold hands, all right? Father, your word never returns void. And we have felt the power of your word. We have felt the power, God, that has come in this series, that this is where you want us to be. There are homes that are struggling. Our homes need a fresh work of grace. We need that. As men, we need to learn how to be more loving. We need to know how to build up our wives by loving them. Loving them with knowledge of what they need as a woman, because they're different from us. And they need that closeness. They need that companionship. They need that security. They have a need to talk to us. They have a need to know that they are the center of our life as far as another human being is concerned. They need our love. And ladies, as God has taught you, your husband needs your respect. He needs that more than he needs anything else. That you would encourage him for how he earns a living for the family, for everything that he does to make your house secure, to give you support, to be there. And that you would be what he needs, because there's no other woman on this planet that can get to him like you. You are the only woman that God permits him to express himself sexually. And he has a need for that. And while he's learning how to love you, learn how to respect him and his needs. And so, Father, I pray for all of us together that, Lord, you will bless us with your blessing. For our singles who yearn to be married, God, we pray you'll bring some worthy men and women on this campus or across their path. You'll bring men and women who love Christ, that our ladies, our men who yearn to be married, Lord, that we can celebrate with them as they learn the joys of living together in marriage. So thank you, Father. Go with us now. Thank you for this time of worshiping you this morning. Thank you for the word. May the word spread about that on the hill we love marriage and we want to see couples do well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.